Hey, everybody, and welcome to Viewing Angles, the only movie podcast that you're listening to right now. I'm your A-host, Dan Leo, and with me, as always, is my really good friend.
Yeah, I'm his best friend. Let's not beat around the bush here. It's Robert Mechie.
You're definitely my best friend on this podcast, Rob.
Yeah.
And I'll say that a million times.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Let's get into the box office this week. Toy Story 4 coming in hot with higher than initially reported box office numbers.
But still under expectations.
Correct. Which, I mean, it performed above the other one.
Toy Story 3?
Yes.
They're all numbered.
They're all numbered.
For now.
Oh, there you go. But yeah, it made like an extra 12 million.
Did it? Yeah, it made like 10 to 12 million more than the last one. But also, like, the last one was 9 years ago. Inflation is a thing.
True. But do you think it's $12 million more?
I don't know. I haven't done the math yet. I don't really care to because it's still a fuck ton of money.
Yeah. And they're bad people for complaining.
Exactly. Also, I don't know if they're like, are they really complaining or is it more just indicative of like apparently like this has just been a weak box office.
Yeah. Like the summer of all these bad reboots.
Yeah. I think 2018 had a pretty strong box office, at least for summer blockbusters.
You also had MoviePass.
That's
which definitely
true.
Juiced it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I would be curious to see how much MoviePass beefed up the box office last year.
I guess we're going to find out this year. Because think about, like, we've got the biggest movies ever coming out this year. We've got the Endgame already came out. You're going to have the new Star Wars. You have Toy Story 4, Lion King. Like, this should be one of the biggest years for the box office. And if it's not, we know that MoviePass really influenced that.
I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily true because I think a lot of people are also realizing that like all these reboots are shit. Like Men in Black, I don't really know if anybody actually expected it to perform very well.
They definitely did. It was like a hundred and something million dollar budget.
The studio did, but the studio, like, it's fucking run by crackheads.
Yeah, no, it's run by shareholders, man.
Yeah, crackheads. They're all on that Limitless drug.
Exactly. If only.
Yeah, if only.
What a dumb, good movie.
Good, Limitless dumb movie. Or Men in Black?
Limitless. The Men in Black was really bad.
Oh, okay. Okay,
Limitless is kind of fun.
Oh, Limitless is super fun.
I'm pretty sure.
It is. That's like one of those movies I can put on in the background and just like watch any scene and be like, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. Okay. Toy Story 4, I think it deserves that amount of money, but I also how much was Captain Marvel? It was like way like a lot more, right?
Captain Marvel made like 140, I think,
yeah,
in the box office.
This should theoretically have a bigger draw.
Yeah, this was a significantly better film than Captain Marvel. But here's the thing that I also think. One, I think a lot of people firmly believe that Toy Story should have ended with Toy Story 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just don't think, like, there are people that, you know, that are just close to me that are like, yeah, I don't want to see it just because it should have ended with Toy Story 3. Like, they don't care how good people are saying it is. It's just like they see it as yet another cash grab by a major movie studio, which, to be fair, has happened pretty often this year. So I think audiences are starting to get a little jaded. I don't think, like, preface this. I don't think this is just a cash grab. Toy Story 4 is great. No. Spoiler alert. But I do think that it's kind of indicative of how audiences are starting to react to these like reboots and sequels and soulless pieces of media coming out.
Right. So you're saying that people view Toy Story 4 the same way that I view Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I refuse to acknowledge its existence in spite of overwhelming evidence of the contrary.
Yes, exactly.
Got it. Well, we'll talk about Toy Story 4 in a little bit later, but this is a good conversation we're having.
Solid.
I'm gonna kill it right now.
Yeah, kill it like Chucky kills people.
Good. You're welcome. What movie does he kill people in it?
He kills people in a movie called Child's Play.
Yeah. It did all right. It made its budget back already.
Yeah, his budget was only $10 million. It made $14 million this weekend. It'll probably make a little. Do you think it's going to break $20 million?
Yes.
Interesting. I do kind of want to see
like,
it.
Like domestically or?
Domestically, yeah. Is this even getting an international release?
I bet it is.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay. Then it'll break. If it gets internationally released, it'll break 20 million easy. But I wonder, like next weekend, I don't think that
it's going to make any money.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I've heard this movie's not as bad as everybody was expecting it to be. And I still kind of want to see it, mainly for Mark Hamill. I'll see anything that boy is in.
Right. I'm mostly in it for his voice acting.
Yeah. Did you ever see the original Child's Play?
A long time ago. And I remember not liking it. I remember it being dumb.
I just remember, I don't think it was the first one. I don't remember which one it was, but I was watching one of them on TV. And it's one where the kid is like, he's at like a military camp, like a military boarding school.
Okay.
And for some reason, Chucky follows him, and they're having an exercise where they load all these guns with paintball bullets. But
oh, let me guess.
yeah. What do you think happens? Yeah, Chucky fucking stabs them all. No,
it's a big redirect.
Yeah, when Chucky replaces the paintball bullets with real bullets, and they just start all shooting each other. And I thought it, like, I guess it was actually supposed to be played for laughs, and I thought it was kind of funny.
Oh, but at the time you thought you were a psychopath because you were watching this like brutal murder take place.
I mean, I still think I am a psychopath, but not a psychopath as much as a sociopath. I don't think I'm psychopathic.
Sure. Yeah. The jury's still out.
Yeah. I'm still still waiting for my.
You're still waiting for your checks to come in. I get you.
No, I'm waiting for my 23andMe to come back.
it just says you're a bad, bad man, Robert Mackey.
God, do you think you're going to see this?
I don't know. It's weird that a horror movie is coming out in the middle of the summer. And I guess It did that, but It also takes place during the summer.
It was like the end. It was like September, wasn't it?
Oh, I thought it was still pretty warm. September is summer-ish.
Sure. Yeah. People just want to be scared because they're all starting school again.
Yeah, exactly. In Labor Day.
All those teeny boppers.
Yeah. So I don't know. Is Aubrey Plaza an A-list actor?
No.
Is she even B-list?
No. I would consider her like an indie darling.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of her best films and a lot of like her are well-regarded indie films like Ingrid Goes West, Life After Beth.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, Scott, I guess, I mean, is that
she is in that.
She's in that.
In the same way that Brie Larson is in it, when it's like you don't remember them, that they were in it.
Yes, but is that an indie film?
Who's it made by? Sony? Is that Sony Pictures?
No, it's Universal. So it's definitely not indie.
Right. It's indie in the way that I think about it.
It's cult. It's a cult film.
Right, there you go.
But it's not indie.
Right. And what's the difference, really? Besides the obvious money
thing. How it was financed. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't just throw these words in my face, Rob, like we're supposed to know what they mean. Yeah. It's weird that she is in this movie as like the mom, because I guess I still view her as like so young that it seems very, very like weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, she could be like a young mom. Maybe she's a young mom. Maybe the kid was an accident. That's probably part of the story.
Yeah. It's probably part of the story. I hear they're trying to set up a sequel with this, and it's going to be like almost like a reboot, if you will, of horror of the Chucky movies, which I don't know that there needs to be.
I mean, they already fucking did it. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so, I'm like, does this need to be? And I guess the question is, when they release these movies, they're obviously trying to make a franchise. They want to be able to print money with these things.
Yeah. They want to, like, I mean, if they keep making these for like, you know, 10 to 15 million or less, I think that this could be a series. I think they could follow in the footsteps of The Conjuring if these movies continue to be good. And it's also like, I know Chucky is like iconic and very 80s. He's one of the symbols of that era, but I don't think that those movies actually performed that well, which is weird because there's like fucking 14 of them. But I think like a good 2/3 of them are direct to DVD sequels. Like that's a franchise that evolved into a cult franchise.
Right. I mean, but it's like those same movies where you have Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th, where they just went on and on and on.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't be stopped. And no one had yet. Everyone just like, yeah, sure. What, like Jason's magic now? Yeah, sure. He gets struck by lightning and turns into
Jason's
a god.
He's in space? Whatever, Jason's dude.
Right. Do you think that we live in a universe where Jason in space could be created?
No. See, I don't think that would work with horror films anymore, but here's my thesis. We're getting that again with the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Just like...
just continuous escalation. Because they are going to space by Fast 10. It's not even going to... they're not even going to do a pun. It's just going to be called like Fast X Furious. Right. And the X stands for space.
Hobbs and Shaw in space.
Yeah.
Hobbs and Shaw versus the Fast and Furious. One of them is going to be the Fast versus the Furious. You know, like that's got
to
be...
hell yes, it's going to be. And I'm going to be 100% there for that. Get James Wan back to direct that one.
Yeah. Does Fast 9 already have a title?
No, because I don't think they have a pun. But I'm telling you, Fast and Furious 10 isn't called Fast X Furious in space. They're going to call it Fast 10, your seatbelts.
Moving on. If they do that, I will eat a mayo sandwich.
Yeah. Also, the prequel is going to be called The Past of the Furious. It's going to be about Dom in high school.
The Past and the Furious.
No, The Past of the Furious.
The Past of the Furious.
Yeah.
And
the movie after Fast 10, your seatbelts.
Okay.
Going to be called The Last of the Furious.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. And how many more movies will happen after The Last of the Furious?
Dude. So The Last of the Furious might be The Last of the Furious, but we're going to get spinoffs left and right. We're going to hit Hobbs and Shaw. We're going to hit Hobbs and Han. We're going to get Shaw and Han. We're going to get...
no, they're going to call it The Last of the Furious, like Volume 2 is going to be the first sequel. And then the third one is going to be called Last of the Furious Triple X State of the Union.
I hope they do The Last of the Furious and then Last of the Furious Volume 2 and then Last of Furious Part 3 and then Last of the Furious Chapter 4. And they just change it every time.
Right. There's... oh, man, there's not enough cocaine in the world that will fuel those board meetings.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that future.
I cannot wait. We live in a pretty good timeline.
Yeah. So Child's Play. Yeah. Pretty good, I guess. Aladdin is number 3 at 13 million. Really, no one made money besides Toy Story 4 this year or this weekend.
Oh, no. Disney took money away from Disney. What are they going to do?
Right. Yeah. It's... insert Spider-Man image of them playing at each other. Yeah.
Insert the Avengers re-release.
Right. It's Mexican-American standoff, a Mexican standoff between three Disney movies, all costing over $150 million.
Jesus. Yeah. So Aladdin made money. I wonder if it met their projections.
I bet not.
Yeah, their projections are just too high for everything these days.
Well, now there's just like so much fatigue. Like people are going to want regular movies again one day, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be like, another one of these crazy expensive like blockbusters. Be like, I honestly just want to see two people talk for like 90 minutes.
Yeah, honestly, I just want more films to be like not John Wick in like an action sense, but just like give me like a $40 million experiment. And if it turns into a franchise, great. If not, you lost $40 million, which is like as much as a catering bill for one of those Hollywood studios.
Right, so. Exactly. The day-to-day catering budget was probably close to like a million. Like you could fund a very nice movie for the catering budget on Avengers Endgame, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. You'd probably make like 4 Child's Plays.
I don't like to think that $40 million was the snack table, but
it absolutely was, dude.
It definitely was.
Yeah. $20 million just for Robert Downey Jr.'s caviar.
which he would just throw away every day.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, gross.
He's got fuck you money, dude. He's got fuck you money and fuck you clout.
Exactly. He's got it all. All right. Let's get in the highs and lows and the toss up of the week.
Yeah.
Here we talk about the highs and lows and toss ups of the week.
That is what we do here. We talk about the highs and then the lows and then the toss ups of the week.
I like segments where they explain themselves, but then they go on explaining it.
Those are my favorite segments, kind of like this one.
Correct. Starting with the high, we got good news. Bryan Singer is not going to do Red Sonja anymore. He has lost the privilege.
Great.
And it's going to be Jill Soloway, creator of Transparent on Amazon, who's taking over that. I still don't know what Red Sonja is. Yeah.
It's like a comic book. I think she's like female Conan or something. I don't know. She's like a woman warrior that rapes and pillages.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that.
So
bring Conan back. Oh, wait. They tried to bring Conan back.
Oh, yeah. With Jason Momoa.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it was him.
Yeah. Man, everybody did. It's because he shaved for it.
Yeah. Oh, disgusting.
Gross. Yeah. Awful.
There's a universe where Jason Momoa becomes like an Arnold Schwarzenegger type.
I think he's too like surfer bro to ever be like the Arnold Schwarzenegger type. Like Jason Momoa, I could never see as a Terminator.
But could you see him as like kind of a buff guy who's like a Green Beret in the jungle getting attacked by an alien?
I could see that, but I think he would definitely have like a very different. He's just not. He can't. I don't think Jason Momoa can be stoic.
Yeah.
Which is what Arnold Schwarzenegger really does well, I think, in a lot of his greatest films.
Blank expression. He also had some great like power hitters making movies for him.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
You team up with James Cameron on what you think is going to be a super shitty like horror movie. Ends up being one of like the biggest franchises of all time.
Yeah. Defining your career.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lucky. Very lucky
but
guy.
Jason Momoa has Aquaman. Like, could you imagine? Imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger as Aquaman.
Yes, I can. I can imagine, Rob, here's a little secret about me. I can imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger in any role.
That's true.
Any role.
He could play any role.
He should be the Hulk. He could be every one of the Avengers.
He easily could be every. He should have played Thanos.
That would have been an interesting choice. I think
man.
I mean, Josh Brolin has got that chin, though.
Yeah, that ball chin.
Yeah, they actually didn't have to CGI that part on. He just has that.
They just removed his makeup that morning.
Yeah. Oh, disgusting. yes. The low of the week is that Halloween 2. This isn't that much of a low.
Sure.
But basically,
whatever.
The Halloween reboot is getting a sequel. So basically, it means that Halloween 2 is happening for the third time,
which is hilarious.
It's funny that that's happening. You didn't really like the newest Halloween, did you?
I wasn't too big. I was really just disappointed. And maybe I'm going to blame it on you for hyping me up for it.
Oh, yeah. I also blame me.
Yeah, it's not. It's
I was
really
thoroughly
not that,
satisfied.
It's not
yeah.
that bad of a film. But I do think that its ending was cheesy. And like, I thought that this was going to have some finality to it because Jamie Lee Curtis deserves it. But no, they're doing the same thing with Child's Play and like every franchise they reboot / relaunch these days is they're trying to make a franchise out of it.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see what take they have on Halloween 2.
It's definitely
technically
not
this
like,
is Halloween 3.
Because sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess Halloween is supposed to be a sequel to Halloween.
So is this one going to be called Halloween 2 or is it also going to be called Halloween? I think they should just keep calling it Halloween.
Just keep it as Halloween.
Like,
fuck
which
it.
One
At
is this?
Point,
like, who
like,
cares?
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping you from doing that.
They should
There's
get
nothing
William
stopping
Shatner.
Them. There's nothing stopping them from doing that. I think
nothing.
They should do it.
Just call it Halloween. Just call it H2O. Fuck it.
Yeah. Instead of H20, just H2O.
Yeah.
All right, a lot of deep cuts here on this podcast. I hope you're all enjoying yourselves because I know we are.
Oh yeah.
And here's the toss up of the week. Toss up because Rob and I are shattering our friendship over it.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers Endgame is getting re-released with a post credit scene. Sure, why not? Try and make the 40 million. This
Do
is
it.
Dumb.
Do it. It deserves it more than Avatar.
No, it doesn't. And that,
yes, it
no,
absolutely does.
They
why do you
are,
think
they're in the same
you,
level of dumb achievements?
When did you become an Avatar apologist?
Because I don't think Avatar is as bad as everyone says it is.
It's just Dances with Wolves with blue people.
Endgame is just time travel with super
is
people.
Is it? Is yeah. that all it is? It's not the culmination of 10 years of episodic storytelling
Rob,
on a budget we've never seen before.
People would pay to see $350 million in a room.
Yes, but would they pay to see it for 3 hours? I don't think yes. so. You have to make it compelling to look at it for 3 hours.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's, I'm not gonna lie. I would pay $10 to look at $350 million in a room, but not for 3 hours. I got shit to do.
Yeah. Time would just escape. You'd actually be in there for 5 hours. It would be an escape room.
Escape your greed, yes.
Yeah, escape your greed. Yeah, the key is you can't leave the room until you put all the money back. And people just starve to death in there.
That's a good pitch.
Yeah, exactly. So I got this business idea where I murder people. I hope that's okay. Oh, and I'm also going to need $350 million to just sit in a room.
It's not just murdering people, though. If it was, you'd be a sociopath. It's murdering people for money.
No, it's murdering people with money, technically.
Both. Murdering people for money and with money. See, that's a statement within itself. That's a modern art piece. You could put that in the MoMA.
Yeah, I'd like to thank John Mulaney for the inspiration for this bit. Okay. I mean, a post-credit scene is one thing. I honestly, just throw out the post-credit scene. Just re-release it with everything intact. Like, everything
no,
the same way.
There's the deleted scene in there, too.
Oh, they added a deleted scene as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, they added a deleted scene. They added a post-credit scene. And they said there's also a sneak peek at Far From Home. Which is hilarious. Like, you're getting people to pay to see a movie again for a trailer that you should actually be paying other people to play in front of films.
Yeah, I mean, they figured it out. Like, maybe that's why Endgame is it is a license to print money.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I'm curious to see what the post-credit and the deleted scenes are.
I can't wait for you to tell me what they are.
No, man, you got to go see it. How are you going to remember everything that happened in the 3 hours before Far From Home comes out?
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. I'll look at the Wikipedia summary.
Mm.
I bet the Wikipedia summary for Endgame is shorter than a lot of shorter movies. Yeah. That makes sense?
Nope.
Beside the point. All right, let's talk about the movie that we saw this week, Rob. What is it?
It's Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4, the long-awaited final question mark
yeah.
entry in the Toy Story franchise tells a story of Woody as he adjusts to his new life with his new kid, Bonnie, the trials and tribulations that go with that. And also sees him on a new adventure with Forky, a little handmade toy.
Yeah,
who
this
wants
movie
to die.
Is about having an existential crisis.
This is about wanting to kill yourself. That's what this is like. Very dark.
The first 15 minutes, I could not stop. Okay, just from the get go, this is the funniest Toy Story movie. I feel very safe in saying that. Because I had more belly laughs watching this movie than I have watching any other Pixar film.
It was definitely pretty funny. I'd have to go back and revisit the other three to see if they were as funny.
I'm sure that they're still funny, but this one got me, and maybe it's just because it did spend the first 15 minutes focusing on Forky trying to kill himself over and over.
Yeah, it's like, what? It was weird to see, because you've got two basic storylines. You've got, and they all kind of revolve around Woody. You've got Forky, who wants to die, but Bonnie, who's the little kid, loves Forky. And so Woody's like, you know, you don't get to die. You have to be a toy. And he's like, but I don't want to be a toy. I want to die.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah. You don't get to make that choice.
Right. And there is. And so he's trying to keep Forky together with Bonnie for some reason. And then he
submit
also
to the
has
will of your creator.
He has a separate side story that involves Bo Peep, who was accidentally, not accidentally, like on purpose, placed in a box and given to another family and has become a lost toy.
Yeah.
But who's spending for herself in a Mad Max type dystopia.
I loved that. That was fantastic. I love what they did with Bo Peep in this film. I thought it was going to be like, I was afraid it was going to be like a little bit like cringy and forced, but it totally works in this film. I'm like, yeah, this is fucking awesome.
I like the tropes that it plays with. I'm not sure. And this is where we're going to get into why I think you like the movie a little bit more than I did. I like the movie, but I don't know if it justified its existence for me. Period. I think it opened up with a lot of potential in the themes that it was bringing out, but none of them really felt like they were successfully resolved for me, like fully in an emotionally impactful way. I think a lot of the points in the movie where I was feeling emotional, I also felt kind of manipulated. But I think overall, the story that it tells is interesting. It definitely feels more like a spinoff of the Toy Story universe that was kind of shoehorned in to be a final chapter, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think it feels much more like a side entry that is just very interesting in the themes that it brings up. And it's also hilarious, too. And the performances are really good. But it feels a little disjointed from the story that I think Toy Story has been trying to tell for the last like 20 years.
I don't know. See, to me, I thought initially I was kind of in that boat where this movie, I don't think needs to exist. I do think Toy Story 3 is a fantastic ending to the trilogy. But now that it does exist, I actually think I might like this more than Toy Story 3. Because my biggest problem with Toy Story 3 is that it's the same conflict, the same villain as Toy Story 2. Like the motivations are exactly the same. Agree.
Yes, it's just reversed. Instead of Woody going to, or instead of Buzz saving Woody, it's Woody saving Buzz.
Yeah, and I think that if they had actually just, I would have been totally cool if they just skipped Toy Story 3 and ended with Toy Story 4. Like if this movie had been Toy Story 3, I would have been just as satisfied with how this film ends. We wouldn't have gotten that trash compactor scene, which is still iconic from Toy Story 3, when like the toys reckon with their own mortality. But man, this movie, I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. I don't know if it's because of like all the fantastic guest features that they had. I think the direction
was Murderer's Row.
Yeah. And the direction talent, I think, was so good. I think this is the best directed Toy Story film of the entire series. I think the action, like the action and blocking, was all fantastically done. And I think that these sequences were more dynamic than any other Toy Story film. And
there's a lot
again,
more going on. Yeah.
There's a lot they more
look
going
like
on.
Toys. They look like real toys this time. Yeah, it was kind of freaky.
The movie looks, it looks astounding. It's crazy how good it looks.
There's a rain scene at the very beginning where they're kind of just flexing and be like when Woody's trying to save the RC car, there was a moment. And like all the water and see, I'm like, oh my God, they're getting like real toys to do this. This is freaking me out. Like, I was like, I'm a little uncomfortable with how good this looks.
Just like how they trained real like lions for the Lion King. They trained toys to be in this.
Exactly. That's, I was getting very in the cat. There's a cat in this movie and it looks real cat.
It's a real cat. It's a cat. Also the dummies, I want to talk about the villain since we were talking about like Lotso and like Prospector Pete before. The villain in this film is great. It's such a nice change of pace from what we've had in the past, two movies, which is just an older toy is jaded by how he's treated by his, like his children. And like, he's upset that he was discarded and now he wants every toy to be discarded like him. That's not the case in this one. You actually like this villain's motivations are actually sympathetic. And I love that it's that she herself is like a male functioning doll from the 1940s that was never played with. And like the dummies are so fucking good. Like
the dummies are I didn't think they would work, but they work very well.
They work so well, and they treat them like horror movie icons because they are. Oh, yeah. They're terrifying. Like the amount of jump scares in this G-rated kids movie is actually what I think surprised me the most.
It's like, yeah, I'm surprised this is not PG. This is a pretty intense movie.
Yeah. And then I just love the scene when like the camera's like zooming out from the cabinet and you just see the dummy sitting on the shelf and its head is just turning all the way around. Like, oh God. Yeah. This movie, also the human characters, there's a lot of really good humor with them. I think that the human characters are kind of ignored for the most part in Toy Story 2 and 3. Like Toy Story 1, obviously you have Sid. But Sid's like barely a human. but in this one, like you get to see like the like Bonnie's parents. There's a bunch of humor that I was not expecting with those scenes, especially towards the end, like with the RV.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of regular comedy in there, like involving real people. And I like it. I like a lot of the elements that it adds, and I feel like it didn't take advantage of everything that it was given. There's a lot of questions about like it kind of paints itself to be a little bit in the beginning. Like, this is going to be kind of a heavy movie. We're going to be dealing with these themes, yada, yada, yada. They really make it come together in the end a little bit, but it's framed almost. You know how you have certain movies that are one-offs and they're about one thing? Like, there's the main plot, but then there's the emotional subtext of everything that's going on. And then at the end of the second act, or the beginning of the third, you have this revelation of like all the emotions coming out, and they're finally talking about the emotional subtext. It's all boiling over.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a great idea for a one-off movie that doesn't pretend to be anything but the main storyline. But I feel like in Toy Story 4, they set this up to have Woody and maybe some of the other toys to deal with these issues at the very beginning. And they kind of get brushed aside during the whole middle part. But at the end, they kind of bring it back together and thinking like, oh, hey, remember those things we introduced a while ago? Now he's kind of dealing with them in the last, 10, 15 minutes of the movie. But it didn't really hit the emotional resonance that I think it was supposed to. Maybe because I was expecting it and I'm just very keyed into how this movie is probably going to work, but I felt less pandered to than in Toy Story 3.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think
that
I
was a lot of words right away. I had to take a deep breath.
Yeah, I agree though. I do think Toy Story 3 was more emotionally manipulating. And I think it's because Toy Story 3 has like just that nostalgia factor. And I'm curious to go
it's
back
built
and
on
watch.
Nostalgia.
Absolutely. Which is why I do think that, like you were saying, this film does work really well as a standalone film. But I do think it also carries over the themes from the original trilogy in a way that I definitely wasn't expecting. Like, to me, I thought that the end of 3 was like the conclusion of mainly like it's Woody's story throughout the entire saga.
Yeah.
So I thought that 3 was kind of a bittersweet moment, and I was like, oh, okay, so like the end of his emotional arc is that he just moves on to a new child.
Right.
But I like
but
the
what
idea
happens after that.
Yeah, I like the idea of them continuing on. Like, well, just because he's got a new kid doesn't mean that he's still like a relevant toy. And that's almost to me like it echoes Toy Story as a franchise to me, because toys are just not as relevant to children these days as they were, in the 90s. So I think it's kind of fitting to have this, if this really is the last film, which I hope it is. I'd be also perfectly fine if they ended it here. I think this is a great conclusion to the saga. But I love that it's all about Woody dealing with this, like this inherent obsolescence in his existence and like coming to terms with what that means. And even though he's still trying to be like the cowboy, the hero, and save everyone that he possibly can, you really do start to see the other toys for the first time tell Woody, be like, this is fuck no, like no, like that toy is just he is actually garbage and he's not worth rescuing. You're only doing this because you need to feel like you're important to Bonnie.
Yeah, there is,
and like that's a heavy theme to reckon with. Be like for Woody to be like, oh, okay, well,
I'll take care of him. Yeah, don't worry, guys, I got this. And it's like, what? But all right, sure, dude. Like,
yeah,
and they do make him reckon with it. I think there is. I do appreciate that theme, and I felt like we didn't get enough of that because it was still trying to be a cute, like, Toy Story like the beauty, it's all set by the standard of Toy Story 2, mm-hmm. where you have that's the first time they lay out these complex themes, but it unfolds throughout the movie and we're not kind of given it right, you know, right away.
Yeah.
That was the last one of these movies to feel like a necessary entry, not a necessary, but an expansion on what happened before it.
Mm-hmm.
In both of the, in the Toy Story 3 and 4, I felt like we're retreading some ground a little bit, but not, we're tapping into it, but we're not fleshing it out in the biggest ways when it's obviously that's what it's trying to do, you know, or do you think that it's more trying to be a lighthearted, you know, kids movie with a little bit of emotional weight? I guess that's the question I'm asking. What do you think the creators are trying to do with this? Or does that even matter?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that creator intent still matters. But I also think that they were definitely shaping this as a lighthearted kids film first and foremost. But this one, I think, definitely caters to the older fans significantly more than any of the other three. And I do think that, I don't know, I feel like this, after watching it, it does feel kind of like a necessary entry to give Woody proper closure and like to almost just see like the full lifespan of a toy, that like just because a toy is given like hand, just because there's a hand-me-down toy doesn't mean it's the end of their journey, whereas like
right.
seeing what happens in this one is more satisfying to me than just being like, oh, he's got a new owner, like that's it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really like this movie, and I think that's might get lost a little bit. I have a hard time reckoning with it in the larger context that it exists, but at a certain point that doesn't matter. And I think a movie is purely enjoyable on the face of it. This is one of those movies. I think if we want to think about Toy Story as a franchise, then that conversation has become a lot more complicated because of this mm-hmm. movie, but this movie is good. I think people should see it. The animation is beautiful. The voice yeah. acting is so good. The, what they do with the characters is really great. And the humor, it slaps. There's a lot of really funny moments in this movie.
Yeah. Hearty chuckles through and through.
Hearty chuckles. Key and Peele, definitely a highlight of the movie.
I was so nervous that they were going to be wasted, but yeah. boy, they were not. Oh my God. And just that sequence where they're talking about their plan.
How to get the key? Yeah. Yeah,
I want to see this movie again. I really, yeah. really enjoyed this movie. And very honestly, like I think it justifies its existence just by, like you were saying, being a good film. Like
true.
You're yes. not going to have a bad time watching this in theaters.
Right. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to have the conversations about Toy Story 4 and the larger Toy Story franchise as two discrete conversations.
Yeah.
They are in like so hammered into each other. And so take that with a grain of salt with everything that I've said. But this is an enjoyable movie and you should go and see it.
Yeah. Ignore all the metatextual.
Tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Ignore all the metatextual commentary that we just had. Go yeah. see this movie. It's fucking great.
If you made it this far, go see the movie.
Yeah.
That's what the title of the podcast should just be called. Go see this movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I'll ham it in there. All right. So we're both saying, see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a pretty good discussion. I've enjoyed this. What do we got going on next week? I believe it's yesterday, which I'm actually excited for.
Is it yesterday or Midsommar? Oh, it is yesterday.
Midsommar is the next week.
Okay. Oh, that's the same weekend as Spider-Man.
Yep.
All right. Well, yep. I guess we're going to go see Yesterday.
I am low-key excited for this movie, but it's also because I am a hack.
I'm a hack too, but like, I mean, dude, I'll watch anything Danny Boyle directs. And I think the premise is super cute.
Yeah, it's a very cute. I'm just looking to have a good time. Like yeah.
I'm just looking to tap my feet. Yeah, I just want to tap my feet, have a good time. Like any excuse to see Beatles music on screen, I'll go see.
Right, exactly. I'm looking to watch this movie, have a good time, be singing Beatles songs for the next like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, I want another reason
to buy the discography.
Let me buy the Love album, the Greatest Hits album again.
No, that's the soundtrack from their from the Vegas show.
It Love. Is, and it's fucking great. It's also
the greatest
like,
hits is one.
I know that they're separate things, but Love is also a Greatest Hits album because it's basically the same music, and also their Las Vegas show is fantastic.
I never saw it, but I have. I should listen to that album again. I feel
Let's
like I did it once.
Let's just go see it. Let's go to Vegas. Let's take that Patreon money that you spent on your European vacation and go to Vegas.
It's all gone, Rob. It's all gone. It's at the bottom of the fucking ocean. I'm sorry.
Went down a hole in Ibiza.
Yeah. We had to go to the Triple Frontier to get it.
That's okay. A throwback.
That's a hot throwback for all of our nuts out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, follow me on Twitter or in Letterboxd. You've listened to the other podcasts at The Dan Leo Show, D Leo. You know, viewingangles podcast.com, at viewingangles on Twitter. You know how you're here.
You know,
we're not trying
to pander to you.
Yeah. Go to Spotify. It's the best way for us to measure the metrics.
Yeah.
Spotify is a great podcast app.
Has great analytics. Please listen
great
on Spotify.
Analytics. Yeah.
Also, buy our merch. Buy our shit. We have new shirts.
Oh, yeah, the merch. Yeah, we got new shirts. What do the shirts say, Rob?
You should go check them out for yourself.
Wait, are they really fucked up?
They're not fucked up at all. They're hilarious. But I will also, if there's enough demand on Twitter, I'll make the Alita Battle Angel shirt that I know people are dying for.
Nobody wants that.
I want it.
Yeah, all right. Then make it and buy it yourself.
Yeah, I'll send you one.
I will never wear it. Well, all right, nuts. We'll be back next week with Yesterday. But yeah. It's been we should think of like a good call off instead of, well, I guess we always do bye.
Yeah, here's a good call off. Follow me on Twitter at Robert Jr. JR.
Oh right, I forgot about you. Rob, you're much more active. The people can see you. You've got a lot of visibility.
I have a shit ton of visibility.
All right. Well, I've been Dan.
I've been Rob.
We've been your viewing angles tonight.
Yeah. You viewed our angles, dude.
All right. I'm going to stop. All right. See you next week, nuts.
Bye. Bye.